Hi, and welcome to episode 20 of the GeoArcade podcast. My name is Shankar, also known as SuperDragon64, and I'm here with Pete, also known as Peds. Say hello.
Hello.
Now, continuing from the previous episode where we take a specific topic of gaming and discuss that, this time we will be talking about delays in video games, notably their releases. We'll look at whether they're justified, whether there's a better option than delaying it, and examples of games that probably should have been delayed, and anything else that really comes to mind as we explore those aspects of game delays. Now, this topic came up mainly because of the PC delay, the delay of the PC version of Sonic Mania, which came out on consoles a couple of weeks ago and will be out on PC this Tuesday. The reason for that delay was optimization of the PC version, so we will first look at that and what we think about that. So, Pete, what do you think of this delay?
You gotta wonder, when they say like optimization, is it, what exactly is that? Couldn't they have been a bit more specific, you know, for a start?
is it really justified in delaying one version? I mean, does this mean that, say, the console, their PC version, was secondary to all the others, and so that one just wasn't ready, and so it's a decision to get everything else out and leave this one in the lurch for a couple of weeks, or is it something else?
I suppose I bought the PC version, and then found out it was delayed, and then bought the PS4 version so I could play it on release. I would say the only way to prove the justification of the delay is by bringing the game out with where it runs equal to or better than the PS4, Switch, and Xbox One versions of the game. Unfortunately, the game's not out until Tuesday, so we can't really say.
On that note, sometimes you can kind of accept a delay if it means that the version that comes out is better than the others, because you then see something tangible, or there's actually something that you can see which justifies that delay in a way. But then it could also be seen as it's enough just to have it up to speed with the others, because you wouldn't really want a worse version of the game that comes out the same time as the others. A big example of this was Skyrim on the PS3. It launched, actually, I think that may be a bad example because it launched after the Xbox version.
They launch the same time, the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions? Or you want about the PS4 and the Xbox One?
The PS3 and PS4 version. So, sorry, the PS3 and 360 versions.
I'm sure they released the same day.
I think you may be right. I mean, in that case, you had the PS3 version, which was plagued with bugs, and you had the 360 version, which was not and was actually very playable. So, in that respect, it may have been a good idea if the PS3 version were delayed. Then at the same time, maybe that wouldn't have helped, because those bugs never really were fixed.
See, the thing is, as well, is like Sonic Mania now, they've delayed the one platform. Like with Skyrim, they didn't delay it, and realistically, it could have been done with delay and more work done on it. But then, do you... With, like, Sonic Mania is not a massive game. It's understandable delaying on one platform. With Skyrim, if they had delayed it for PS3, would they have had to go, look, we need to carry on optimizing the game, and then would they hold it back for all three platforms at the time?
See, that is a good question, and I think that Well, it's hard to really know, but what would be the preferable option? And I think anyone would want the game sooner. So if you just had a PS3, you on the one hand may not want to wait longer, but then on the other, would you really want the game that was pretty much unplayable as you sunk more and more time into it? So it's hard to really argue in that case whether you'd want to put up with a worse version until it's patched, or whether you just want the whole thing to be released later, or whether you'd want every version to be released later. Though that last one I feel is a bit unfair on people who just own the other formats, or who plan to, because there's no real reason. Well, I wouldn't say real reason, it's just that it seems that they wouldn't benefit from the delay. But then on the other side of that, delaying every version may be seen as being fair. One reason we still have launch dates and why publishers do pay attention to retailers who break launch dates is because it may give an unfair advantage to another retailer. For example, say game is always sells its new releases as soon as it releases receives them. So say a game comes out on Friday, it gets it on Monday, and anyone can run into a shop and buy the game on Monday. That gives game an unfair advantage over, say, Tesco, who has to wait, who doesn't get his shipment until Thursday. And this and putting that to release dates of different format of a game on a different format, you might opt for one because it gets the game sooner, or it's not been delayed. Like you bought Sonic Mania for PS4, which you wouldn't have if the PC version had been released on the same day, though you did buy
No.
both. But it still does, change the playing field a bit.
It does when you think about it in that respect. As we both said, I bought Sonic Mania on the PS4 because of the PC delay, even though I'd already purchased it. So I suppose in another way then, a delay may be beneficial for another platform holder. I was going to say another thing about delays is a bit off topic. Not off topic so much, but where we were talking about delaying one platform for another, is think back to the backlash, sort of backlash then, to Rayman Legends for the Wii U. It was delayed for months so it could come out on the Xbox One and the PS4 at the same time, or Xbox 360 and PS3 at the same time. I can't remember which. And it was ready for months and months, and it didn't, and on the Wii U, and it didn't get released because of the other consoles, which the delay was completely unneeded, but for some reason it held it back.
Yeah, so stuff like that, holding it back a long time, can be frustrating to fans who have been following it for a while and are eager to play it, and then for reasons that don't affect them, they have to now wait several extra months. And that's why we're discussing this topic. It is tricky. There's really no one clear answer. It is very much going to depend on a case by on each case and its merits.
Yeah. The problem you've got is when it comes to delaying a game and then delaying a game, because it happens where games are delayed repeatedly. Are the consumers then going to still be as interested in it? Are they going to lose interest? Is there a way to bring the game out earlier? Not earlier than planned, but earlier, in a good enough state to bring it out? Because, like, look at some of the games that have been delayed. Duke Nukem Forever, that was delayed loads. It didn't come up, what, 13 years? At a trash. So.
Yeah, and that's a good point, and we can take this in two directions. You've got one, well, actually, yeah, you've got one where, as you said, consumers will lose interest, and maybe unlikely to, the end just might not buy it because they've waited so long. and their attention's caught by something else, and they feel that their needs have been better served by that. On another branch, there's can there something be done to mitigate that, like early access? So we can take both of those points. Let's go first with is something announced too early? Recently, recently Crackdown 3 was announced to be delayed until next year. Let's move. We won't dwell on what that means for the Xbox One itself, but we'll look at what this means for that game. It means that it will have been and now the gap between its announcement and its release now looks to be 4 years. And you have to believe that there will be some people whose interest has waned in those 4 years, and they may feel that at this point they're just not going to wait for it, or they may have thought that Crackdown would be the reason to jump into an Xbox, but now there's so much more to play elsewhere that this one game doesn't feel like it will be worth it this late into the console's life.
With Crackdown 3, it's actually really disappointing because it's one of the games I've been really looking forward to on the Xbox One. I wasn't a massive fan of Crackdown 2, but I loved Crackdown. And the delay after delay after delay is just making me think, really? Is there any point? I honestly am surprised it hasn't been cancelled the amount of times it's been delayed. But as you were saying with early access, could they have brought it to that? I don't know. It's just a shame to see a game where you're actually looking forward to it seem to never get an actual release date and stick to it. I think, as you said, this announcing games too early. When I think games need to be announced a little bit closer to the release, so the delays are less common. I don't know how common they are really, but less common is the word I want to use.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be in a situation where a game is announced and then ultimately it comes out 4 years after the fact. Now, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You've already mentioned Duke Nukem Forever, which took practically forever to launch. Terrible pun intended. Recently, a game called Grimoire was released on PC that literally took 20 years to come out. That was released with little fanfare,
I
and
think I heard about that. People were meant to be very unimpressed with it, I think. But again,
yeah, the general consensus was that people bought it mainly out of curiosity of what this 20-year-old game
yeah,
was like.
that's the thing as well. Games that, again, delayed for a long period of time, going from people the record as it stands now, two games you've mentioned, both games are not very good. So it goes to show that delaying a game for a long period of time is not a good thing. It doesn't improve the experience. Short delays seem to have, like, Zelda was delayed several times, Breath of the Wild, and that's a fantastic game, but it wasn't delayed for 10 years plus.
Yeah, exactly. If a delay is kept manageable and it still the game still comes out after a decent after a an average development time or something not extraordinary, it does have the chance to be to turn into something great. But after you do eventually pass a point where no matter how much time and money is sunk into a game, it just won't receive that critical acclaim, and it may just be better to pull the plug. It felt like Breath of the Wild was delayed endlessly and would never come out, but really, the time between Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild was less than 6 years. And before Skyward Sword, we had Twilight Princess, which was 5 years. Before that, we had Wind Waker, which was 4 years, 3 years. Fair enough. Before that, there was only 2 years, 3 years, two or three years between Majora's Mask and Wind Waker. But you can see your average the average length time between a console Zelda title is about 5 years. So waiting about 5.5 years for Breath of the Wild wasn't out of the ordinary, whereas waiting over a decade for Duke Nukem, seeing Crackdown delayed now, and now putting it 4 years away from its announcement, that kind of thing can be cause for concern.
Another thing you gotta look at is when it comes to games being delayed over a long period of time, obviously over a short period of time is fine. If a game gets delayed by 6 years, 10 years, it's got this possibility to be way out of fashion in style, and people are gonna be like, "Ah, it's old news," because of that. A game obviously at 6 months isn't gonna be, "Oh, it's old hat." This type of gameplay. It's just unfortunate that there's so many games that, well, not so many games, but the game delays keep happening. Like this generation, I'm not sure about last gen, I can't remember that well, but this gen has, I've seen a lot of delays in this games since this beginning.
I think, yeah, there have been delays, but I think last gen there were also delays, and really it may just seem more now because the generation's still going and you feel like it's another game that's delayed, whereas previously it's all done and the games have come out. So there's no, it's not like you're still waiting for anything. Unless you look at things like Half-Life 3, which had an appearance in the last generation.
Talking of Half-Life 3, is that ever going to come out? Or is that going to be delayed indefinitely? Because another game that has been, how many years now? A lot of, well, a long time since any news came about it, in the sense of Valve was saying they were doing anything with it. Look, well, and then there's the latest story that came out from one of the writers of Half-Life, so.
I don't know when someone from Valve last officially commented on anything in the series, but episode 2 of Half-Life 2 came out 10 years ago, and this past week Mark Laidlaw, one of the lead writers, or a former writer of the Half-Life series at Valve, who left last January, posted some fan fiction on his blog, which outlines what could be seen to be, or could be taken as, the plot of Half-Life 2 Episode 3. And his last paragraph in this piece of fiction was criticizing Valve for its treatment of Half-Life and its lack of interest in continuing it. Now, whether Valve is right to do that or not is another question, but looking at the delay of episode 3, which was announced, we did know it was coming, or we expected it, and not just because of the cliffhanger ending of episode 2. Yeah, it's been 10 years since episode 2 came out, and as more time goes on, it did bring the question, will episode 3 actually be any good, or should it just die because it's so overhyped? And that does tie into the point we made earlier about how games which receive huge delays don't tend to be good. Now, happily or sadly, it sounds like the plot that was published for half of episode 3 would actually have turned into a good game, even a great one. So it looked like it could have been the exception to that rule, something to buck the trend, but we'll almost certainly never know.
Which is a massive disappointment, whichever way you look at it. Like, even if the game had come out and it was disappointing, at least there would have been conclusion to the game. But, you know, We never ever know, no. Ever. Goddamn Valve.
No, it is a shame. But I did feel that it, I did wonder whether Half-Life 2 Episode 3 could meet those expectations, especially as the time after the release of Episode 2 went on and on, and that gap became bigger. Now, we've talked about game delays and the possible effect they have on the game itself, whether or not it could be good or bad. The possible effect on consumers in their dwindling interest, but one way of mitigating that is through early access, and we've seen some very popular early access titles. The current flavor of the month being PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. There's some critically acclaimed early access titles. A fantastic example being Divinity: Original Sin 2. So, is this a good way of keeping the game in everyone's mind, giving people access to it who want it, while also being another way of funding the game's development and just showing everyone that it is very much alive and that this is the progress, or this is what you this is very much what is available to play, and giving people faith in it and not just letting it become, not letting the people forget it.
Well, so far, the biggest issue with early access is, will the game come out of early access? For example, like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, there's a game called H1Z1. It's a similar game. That's been in early access for years. DayZ have been in early access for years. That's the only problem. But at the same time, you're still getting to play the game. So if Crackdown had come to early access, people could be having fun with the multiplayer right now, while they're waiting for the story mode. They did that with I think the game was called The Long Dark. Not that there was a multiplayer. There was a like there's a survival mode where you just stay alive. That was the early access thing, and then they've gradually, to the point now where it's actually been released fully, they've added in a story mode. So I think having an early access the ga game in early access instead of delaying it may be beneficial. Of course, you won't get all the people who want to buy the game to buy it in early access. For example, the Watching Artist, one of the forum members, he won't buy early access games, which is completely understandable. You don't want to, like, some people don't want the risk of paying money for a game that may never come out, or like close after a certain amount of time. But at the same time, you've got the game out that people who want to play it can play it, as well as you said, they're making some money from that to fund the development. Honestly, I would say that would be a better option than delaying. Like I said, you could delay the single player, but have the multiplayer as early access. People are gonna lap that shit up.
Yeah, early access isn't a foolproof way of fixing or of mitigating the effect of delayed games, but it is a viable method, and there are some good examples. But then, as with anything, there are some bad examples. As you said, DayZ is one of them, and that is, yeah, that has been in early access for a long, long time, and it doesn't look like it will be completed anytime soon. So yeah, there are benefits and drawbacks to that method as well. But it is a good way of keeping develop. It's another way of keeping development in people's minds. An alternate way is through video updates, I mentioned Divinity Original Sin 2, and the developers at Larian Studios have put out regular video updates about development of the game, and they are fantastic and very informative, and really those videos alone are a great way of keeping everyone engaged with the development of the game, showing how it's coming along and explaining different bits about it, without relying on media outlets or YouTubers to play the game themselves and make their own and then sit to explain it. You've got the developers who already have a thorough understanding of the game, and especially with something as complicated as Divinity Original Sin, because it does have a lot of elements, they're already in the right place to showcase them and really exhibit just how special the game can be. And of course, at the same time, the game is in early access, so anyone who likes the look of those videos and what the developer is doing can buy it to play for themselves.
See, that's one of the things, though, that you mentioned there, is the developers of Divinity Original Sin 2 doing developer diaries and things like that to keep people informed. We only really, like, with Crackdown 3... I know I'm mentioning Crackdown 3 a lot, but it's the game which have been delayed quite a while. The other main game that I'm concerned about is Sonic Mania, which is only a couple of weeks, so it's less of a thing. But with Crackdown 3, like, the only news I see, I don't see anything unless it's like at an event, at some kind of event where they're talking about the game. They don't do little things every year and there that I've seen personally to keep you informed on the game. And that's it's not a good thing, because you want to keep it in people's minds. You want people to, like, not remember the game, because they're not going to forget the game, but you want to keep people interested, show that this game does have the promise to live up to their expectations. And by delaying it and just saying, oh, look, it's being delayed, and then nothing for months, it's not the right way to go about it. And I think that's one thing the developers of Divinity... Is it Divinity Original Sin 2?
Yeah,
I've got right. So you can't fault them for, but you can fault other developers not doing this same, I guess. Obviously, different developers are working differently to not so much different standards then, but different. They may have different schedules and so on and so forth. But one of the guys from the company could sit down for 10 minutes, do a little video about we're doing this, we're doing that. I think that would be a good idea for games that get delayed. If that happens, then people will be, I would say, maybe more forgiving of your constant delaying.
Yeah, I agree, and the radio silence that can come about is one of the more worrying aspects of things like Kickstarter and early access. You've got games like 90s Arcade Racer and I think it's Drift Stage, which have had little to no communication from the developers since the Kickstarter's ended. On the other hand, you've got games like Divinity Original Sin, which was on Kickstarter. You've got Indivisible, which is made by the developers of the Skullgirls series, which wasn't on Kickstarter. It was on, I believe, Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, the developers there have provided regular updates.
Very, very regular.
In the case of Indivisible, the developers are giving updates mainly through emails, but there are various clips on YouTube about new developments, and really they keep you informed about how the game is progressing. So even if these games are delayed, you've always been reassured by the developers and their updates that work is progressing and at a good pace with good results, because you can see them. And so if you do hear about delay, you don't worry that it's just another step towards the inevitable. The game's now cancelled. Thank you for your money. It's more of a case that you really do. You can see that they need more time, or you believe that when they say that they need more time, they do in fact need it, because as much progress as they made, they can't realistically finish the game to that quality in that in the time frame that they initially projected, which is fair enough. Sometimes delays are necessary. On that point, there are examples of games that should have been delayed but weren't. The most prominent examples this generation, this past generation, have been Drive Club and the Master Chief Collection, which both had notorious launches, plagued by bugs and
The
in gameplay, and
online
also the
side of it
online
was
mode especially.
really bad. I didn't play Drive Club on release, so I didn't experience that. I did play Master Chief Collection. Not good.
No, in fact, we, the two of us, did try to play Master Chief Collection, and we couldn't get the voice chat to work, so I think we ended up using Mumble or something. But we had problems with that, and it was a while after the game had launched, and even now, I doubt that it's perfect. I'm sure that there will still be problems, because frankly, it's been a long time since anyone's mentioned updating that, and no one's come out with, yes, it's perfect, so we don't need more updates. Drive Club did turn things around, despite a terrible launch and a plethora of problems, especially with its online mode, which is a big problem, because the game was geared towards making driving a social experience, and actually joining clubs with your friends and race and collecting and progressing through those clubs. But it did resolve it, and it has become one of the better games that have come out this
It's definitely
generation, on the
a
PS4 and otherwise.
racing game that I've actually really enjoyed. I'm not a massive racing game fan, but playing that on a Sunday night with the people from G Arcade was great fun. It was just a good laugh. It was a good social experience. So what they set out to do, Evolution, I believe it was called.
I think so, yeah.
I say they were called because they were closed down. What they set out to do, it took them a little bit of time, but they hit the nail on the head in the end. They missed a few times, but eventually they slammed that nail good and proper.
And Drive Club was actually subject to delays itself. It was supposed to launch with the PS4, but believe that it came out a year later and still had problems, so that could have benefited from further delays, but for various reasons, most likely commercial, it was launched prematurely, which is a shame, because it did get a bad reception, but ultimately it did save itself as a game, though again, sadly, and as you said, Evolution, the developer, was closed down. Whether or not Drive Club had a factor in that, we will never know for sure, but I think it's safe to believe that it did.
You've got to wonder with Drive Club though, would a delay have been better? I know looking back at it looks like it would have been better to delay it to get everything running properly. But at the same time, when they got it out, when they did, would a delay have just made it less people get it? Did that the initial launch put people off the game because of how bad it was at the start? You know, there's a lot of things to think about when you're thinking about delays, really, about what effect it'll have on the game, on the community, on the people's perspective of the game. When you look at it from all those angles, it's like, when do you delay a game? When do you bring it out? When do you go early access? But at the same time, it's like, get your game done. Stop damn delaying it, you know? We don't want to wait. We do want to wait because we want the game to be the best it can be, but at the same time, it's frustrating when there's a game you're looking forward to and it's like, sorry, it's delayed. The next year comes, sorry, it's been delayed again. Ah, just it's so annoying.
It is annoying and it is a hard thing to get right because there's a balance to achieve between delaying something and releasing it when it's good enough. But launching a game in a bad state can have a negative effect and on not just the game but future titles from that company. An example would be Battlefield. After the launch of Battlefield 4 on PC, which had a lot of problems, people were hesitant to pick up games like Battlefield Hardline and even Star Wars Battlefront because they were worried that there would be that same matchmaking and internet problems that dampened the launch of Battlefield 4 would exist in these other games. Now, thankfully, Battlefront didn't really have that problem, but it was noticeable online that people were skeptical as to whether or not.
Yep, they were like it with Battlefield 1 as well, and that was like 3 games later of games like not Battlefields.
Yeah, so you can see that it does have an effect and it is a balancing act, but it can be done successfully. An example of a game that received updates through its life to add more content for free, but still had a relatively good launch would be Splatoon. Well, both Splatoon 1 and Splatoon 2. Let's look at the Wii U game Splatoon 1, which came out in 2015, with a small number of maps and modes, but as time went on, new modes like Rainmaker and Splat Zones were added to it, and new maps were added to it, and even weapons. And these regular updates not only breathe more life into the game for those who may be losing interest, but always revived it, it always gave it a bit of a boost in community, so it would take a lot longer for player numbers to dwindle than would otherwise. One problem you see in certain games is that it launches and then after a while the player base is dead, but if you have these updates of content, not only do you refresh the interest of those who are still playing, but you could draw other people into it who may have stopped playing or may not have played at all because it's just renewing that interest with new content. And yeah, it did make the final version of Splatoon quite different to the launch version in that there was more to do. But it didn't receive as bad a reception as say Drive Club, which just had technical problems.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, man. The way Splatoon worked and is working with Splatoon 2 is in a way a similar way to how early access works as well. When you think about it, the constant updates and adding content, and so going by that model, it seems to work really well. Whether people are willing to spend the money on that sort of thing is a completely different thing altogether. And it comes to the point of is it better to release the game and do these updates or delay it? And from experience, I would say early access or Splatoon model would be the best option because, as you said, if your interest is wing starting to wane after a while, bam, new content. Oh, let's try out this new content. Oh, bam, it's free. That makes things even better. Instead of going, bam, give me 20 quid and I'll give you 3 new maps. You know what I mean?
Yep, and that's that in itself brings another problem in that charging for new content in a multiplayer game can split the fan base. So if something has to be delayed or you're looking at one of these methods to delay a game, but then at the same time keep people interested, you have to think about how you monetize your content and whether or not you want to risk splitting up the fan base in that way. For example, what another sorry, another example is episodic gaming, which was made famous or infamous, depending on your view, by Half-Life 2, which was supposed to receive 3 episodes. Now, you see games by developers like Telltale, that might actually be the only company that actually does this kind of development. Actually, no, it isn't. There are a couple others. So
Yeah.
anyway, you've got Telltale as the biggest example, which splits up its story games into episodes, and the collection of episodes is a season. So you've got the Game of Thrones game, which split into 6 episodes for one season, and the recently concluded Batman game. Now, in a single player game like that, it's not as much of an issue because if someone's not enjoying it, that person can just not buy the rest of the episodes. But carving up content in a multiplayer game and selling that individually is a good way of splitting up your fan base and hastening the death of your game.
Unfortunately, that is a big problem with games, and nowadays anyway, since last gen really, Battlefront 2 is getting away with the season pass, the one they give them the content for free, so that's a good thing.
That is a good thing until you look into what it's doing to mitigate that, and then you get the worries of, are these unlocks that are tied behind credits that can be bought with real money going to imbalance the game? And so instead of splitting the fan base, you just end up making it a pay-to-win game. It's not a perfect system, but
No,
it's not as bad
no.
as, well, actually, I don't want to say it's not as bad as, but it's not your traditional splitting of your user base.
Yeah, it's kind of like treating one problem and creating another anyway. But that's one thing about I know they usually use similar engines for a while, but like your CODs, your Battlefields, your FIFAs, your Maddens, none of these seem to get delayed. So, what are they doing? Are they doing something differently to other companies that are delaying their games, or are they
Well, if you
just?
look at games that we've talked about and that have been delayed, like Crackdown, like Zelda, these are big games that try to offer something radically different to the predecessors. Or I mean, even Crackdown, it's not as big of a departure from Crackdown 1 or 2 as Breath of the Wild was from Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess, but it's more Crackdown 3 is more different to 2 and 1 than say FIFA 17 is to FIFA 16. Now, I may not be a big sports fan, but there's only so many ways you can make a football game without changing the fundamental aspect of football. I mean, the pitch will always be the same size, the teams will always be inspired by real people and real teams. You can
Yeah.
add mechanics and gameplay tweaks, but really it's a lot of it is derivative upon previous releases, whereas games like Crackdown and Breath of the Wild aren't very derivative or derivative at all. It's not like they can use an existing engine. I mean, you have examples of that. You have Majora's Mask, which was pretty much a reskin of, well, which is heavily based on Ocarina of Time, but
Yeah.
that was done because there was only a year to make the game, and despite that, it was actually better than Ocarina of Time,
I'm
in
not
my
going to agree or
opinion.
disagree with that statement, but I would like people to post in the thread after listening to this and tell Dragon whether he's right or wrong.
Clearly, I'm right, and that anyone who posts otherwise is wrong, but we would like to hear your thoughts on that.
My thoughts. Or other people's thoughts.
Everyone's thoughts. You can post in the thread as well.
I will
We'll
post in the thread.
leave that tangent there. But really, yeah, that's what I'd say about those games. And you've got other games which don't really seem to be subject to delays or are announced and launched quite quickly. Super Mario 3D World and Fallout 4 were announced and launched within 6 months. And so in that case, those are good examples of the developers correctly gauging how much time they'll need to finish a game. And it is
Yeah.
good when you see a short time between announcement and launch, because you can build up hype for it, and the consumers aren't waiting ages for a game, and they get to play it sooner, which is always a good thing. And 3D World actually had a big change. I remember seeing the E3 trailer and not being that impressed, but later in the year, a new trailer came out, and it became very much a day one purchase for me.
Yeah, I remember seeing the initial trailer thinking, "Oh, well, that looks crap." I was quite wrong. But yeah, I suppose you are right. Where there isn't a lot of fundamental change, it does make it easier to iterate on something that's already been done. So yeah, yeah, you make fair points, man. It's just why have they got to delay games, dude? Why can't they just make them work quickly? But you know what I mean. I you see so many games getting delayed. It comes to the point of, do I just buy any old rubbish to tide me over, or am I supposed to not play anything until these games come out that I want? You know what I mean? I know that's a bit of hyperbole, but you get my drift.
Yeah, and then that does tie back into the point you made earlier about game delays and what they do to consumers. Sometimes they will end up dampening enthusiasm, and the hype dies down, and some people may end up just skipping the game because they weren't invested enough to wait, and so that sale is lost. And this is where things like early access can help, or even regular updates. You can keep that interest and say, yes, the game is delayed, but look, it's still coming along well, and let's keep you interested and excited with this footage or this piece of the game that you can play in early access. And that kind of thing will go a long way to keeping people involved. Okay, so to wrap things up, we've talked about game delays and the effects they can have on the players. It can lead to frustration, it can lead to dampen enthusiasm, and possibly fewer sales, as some people aren't as wrapped up in the hype as they may have been had a game launched earlier. On the other hand, there are ways of mitigating that, through regular updates like the developers at Larian Studios have done with Divinity Original Sin, through early access, as we've seen games like PlayerUnknown's Battleground. Of course, there are bad examples of early access where the game just never comes out. DayZ has been in early access for a long while and doesn't show any signs of coming out soon, though that's still a very playable and enjoyable game. And then you have games that come out but are just never really fixed, like the Master Chief Collection, or you've got games that come out, undergo several patches, and eventually do become great games like Drive Club. So delaying a game and delaying a game indefinitely can happen, as we've seen with Half-Life 2 Episode 3. A huge delay to a game like Duke Nukem Forever can come to an end, but it may not be any good. So there are lots of examples of delaying video games for good and bad reasons, to warm and cold receptions, and really it's a hard thing to get right. There are lots of different reasons behind them and different ways to tackle them. But hopefully games that you look forward to won't be delayed for too long.
It's unfortunate the games get delayed. I cannot completely understand why it happens. And unfortunately, the only way you're going to find out if that delay was worth it is by, well, of course you can read people's opinions, but realistically, for me personally, is you have to wait till that game comes out, even if it's a year or 2 years or 3 years of a delay, and then you have to buy it and play it, and it's a sad state of affairs that that has to happen, but that's the only way you're going to get your definitive answer.
Yep, sometimes you can trust the opinions of others, but really, only you know why you're interested in a game, and you'll be able to decide whether or not it was worth it. So that's all we have for this podcast, but join us next time, hopefully without any delays, where we'll have a new topic if we continue this format. As always, you can check out the forum and post your own thoughts in the podcast relevant thread. And well, not just your thoughts on delays, but also on how we record the podcast. Any feedback is always welcome. And as Ped said, definitely post with your opinions on whether or not Majora's Mask is better Green of Time. Clearly, there is only one correct answer. For now, it's good night. Well, goodbye from me whenever you're listening to it.
Yeah, and ta-ra from me as well, guys.
And thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.